by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Pastor Johan of the local Norwegian Lutheran Church and Pastor Sven of the Swedish Covenant Church across the road were pounding a sign into the ground which said, "The end is near. Turn yourselves around and do it before it's too late." As a car sped past them, the driver leaned out the window and yelled, "Leave people alone, you Scandahoovian religious nuts!" From the curb, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. Shaking his head, Pastor Johan said, "That's the third one this morning." "Yeah," Pastor Sven agreed. "Do you think maybe the sign should say, bridge out?" Right? People all over are talking about the end. The end is near. You can't pick up a magazine, a newspaper. You can't listen to the TV or radio without hearing somebody talking about the end of the world, Armageddon. Hollywood has portrayed the end of the world in various popular films. It's in tabloids. Wannabe prophets out there are talking about it. It's everywhere. In fact, the word Armageddon has actually become a synonym for various doomsday kind of scenarios. We now, in our vocabulary, have a financial Armageddon, an ecological Armageddon, an environmental Armageddon, and nuclear Armageddon. If you search for Armageddon on the internet, you will get suggested searches in all of those areas and even more. The idea of Armageddon is actually a biblical basis of a battle that will be like no other. And that is the basis of our study today. I would ask you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. If you're using a pew Bible, the page numbers are listed up on the screen, and I'll give you just a moment to get there. Revelation chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 21. You people are fast. Normally I stand here for quite a while hearing page numbers going, pages going like this, and you were like right there. Okay, must be the Bible scholars that came out today. But anyway, beginning with verse 12, it says, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes on him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Then they gathered the kings together to the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it had ever occurred since man had been on earth, so tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon them. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. Today, if you would grab your green sheet, we're running out of white paper, green sheet today, and you would turn there, you have some space to take some notes. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the battle that is described here, and that is the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is a battle where great masses of armies will gather to fight. But they will not gather to fight against one another. Rather, they are gathering to fight against Christ when he returns. That's really what they're doing. Armageddon is the last battle that will ever be fought in this world. Armageddon will make all former wars of history look like minor skirmishes. Armageddon will draw the final curtain on modern civilization. That, my friends, is a biblical definition of Armageddon. So when you hear Armageddon being talked about in all other contexts, you'll know that they're really stealing a biblical understanding. The place is Megiddo. Megiddo, the name for the Battle of Armageddon, contains the name of the city or the place where it is going to occur. I have a map for you today. Sorry. Megiddo is located literally in the main crossroads of all of the ancient world. All of the traffic from Egypt and Africa combined into one huge caravan route that was funneled together in a valley on one road which entered Megiddo from the south. You're not going to get all this. Again, if you need notes, email me. The plain of Esdraelon is the east of Megiddo, opposite of the Jezreel Valley. You can see it there. Again, it was the main crossroads of the known world. It was known, it was commonly known by the Assyrians, Egyptians, Philistines, Greeks, Romans, and even Napoleon's passage route went through Megiddo. Megiddo is the largest Canaanite fortress city in Israel. And it has existed for thousands of years. Archaeologists say that it has been destroyed and rebuilt over 25 times. Megiddo is a place where Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites in Judges chapter 4 and 5. Megiddo is a place where King Saul was slain during a war with the Philistines, 1 Samuel 3:10. Ahaziah was slain in Megiddo by Jehu, 2 Kings 9. Josiah was slain by the Egyptians in 2 Kings 23. And according to scholars, more than 200 battles have been fought near or upon this site. I have a quote for you. This is what Napoleon said about Megiddo. He said, "All of the armies of the world could maneuver their forces in this vast plain. There is no other place in the world that is more suited for war than this. It is the most natural battleground on the whole earth." The town of Megiddo was the key, was an important passage. I have an aerial view, if you can look. I believe this is taken from the top of Mount Tabor. And as you look out across here, you can just see, as far as the fog and the mist will allow you to see, you can see this huge, flat battleground. As I was reading and studying this, some of the text said that it is here in the Valley of Megiddo, here in this Valley of Armageddon, that all of the crossroads come to one place. You can actually go in one direction, it will take you to Europe. If you take the other side of the turn, it will take you into Asia. It is a very well-known crossroads. It is a place where a battle is going to occur, and we're going to look at that in a little bit. I want to talk about the idea, though, that this place, Megiddo, is a place where you make a decision as to which direction you might go. Metaphorically speaking, Megiddo has a message for us as well. Because the reality is, and especially as we think about end times, every one of us comes to a place where we must personally decide our own direction. We must either decide to accept the offer of grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers to us, or we will choose to reject that offer. And by rejecting, we will receive our own condemnation. In John chapter... In John chapter 3, we're familiar with John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." But verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." You see, those that will reap the wrath of God are those who have chosen to reject his offer of grace and forgiveness. By their own choices, they will reap the punishment that God is going to pour out. Last week, we looked at the tribulation period. And I want to briefly, because it kind of sets a stage for what's going on in our study today, I want to briefly review with you what that looked like. There are 21 judgments that are listed in the book of Revelation, either in the form of seals, trumpets, or bowls. But it's important for us to understand that as these judgments are poured out upon the earth, it is all going to climax into this great battle that the Bible calls the Battle of Armageddon. We see that there is an antichrist or a world ruler that emerges. There's war, there's famine, there's death. Those that will trust Christ at this time will be martyred for their faith. Again, an earthquake. Angels then are given seven trumpet judgments. This is all basic review from last week. Then there are seven trumpet judgments, and look at the vast destruction. One third of vegetation is burned. One third of sea life is destroyed. One third of fresh water becomes unfit for consumption. One third of the sun, one third of the moon, and one third of the stars turn dark. Locusts torture those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. One third of mankind is killed. Again, then there are seven bowl judgments, malignant sores. The sea is turned to blood. Rivers and springs are turned to blood. The sun scorches people with fire. Painful sores, demonic spirits. And then a severe earthquake like no other that is described in the passage of Scripture that I just read for you. God is going to pour out his divine wrath on all who have rejected his Son. those who were alive on this earth at that time will experience awful things. Things like we have never seen or experienced before. One would say, well, in that time, these people are going to really turn to God. And as we looked at last week, they really will not. It says the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot serve or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murderers, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They absolutely have a heart that is hardened against God. In fact, I'm not sure if we'll touch that scripture today, but I shared with you last week, they will actually gnaw their tongues as they are cursing God and making railing accusations against him because of what God is doing is as he pours out his wrath in punishment for their rejection of him. On your outline, it lists the characteristics, and here they are. The battle will involve all nations of the world. Joel is one of the prophets that gives us some of that information in Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. The Antichrist will be the leader of the enemy army. Revelation 19:19. Those who are defeated by the Lord will reach from the end of the earth to the other. Imagine the annihilation that the people will just reach. It says in Jeremiah that they will literally reach from one end of the earth to the other. And the dead will not be buried. Instead, their carcasses will be consumed by birds. Revelation 19:17-18. I'm sure most of you have gone down a road, and as you're traveling, it seems to me it happens to me on the long stretch, or that what they call the long stretch here, which is the section of 209 between Tamaqua and Pottsville or Middleport. And in that, I'm sure, because it happens to me all the time, I'm going across there, and there's usually big crows or some kind of birds that are eating the carcasses that are along the side of the road. There's a lot of roadkill on that roadway, there's a lot of birds. And as you're driving by, I almost said as I'm flying by, that would have been an admission of speeding. As you're driving by, that's funny. As you're driving by, the birds fly away as they see you coming. Wow. Whoa. Okay. Anyway, God is pouring out these 21 judgments. And the armies of the world are gathering, and they will rise up to battle against Christ at his return. And in verses 13 and 14, there's something else that occurs. It says that there are evil spirits that come out from the mouths of the false Trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And they go upon the earth, and they get the kings of the earth, and they gather for this great battle. It is these unclean spirits that gather together those who have rejected Christ for their final defeat. One commentator noted that God allows evil to gather all of the evil to one place where he will be victor. It says, if you look in verse 17 and following, this terrible battle takes place, the seventh bowl judgment is poured out into the air. A loud voice from the throne is heard, and the voice says, "It is done." And that voice is the voice of the Lord. He has spoke those words similarly before. When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." At the moment when Jesus sacrificed himself for our sin, and he completed that task, he said, "It is finished." And now, as those who have rejected him gather in one final formation to war against him, he comes as a victor once again. And this time he says, "It is done." Says, this really is setting the stage for his return, which we're going to look at next week. But it talks about lightnings and rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. The Bible describes it as the greatest earthquake that has ever been. It will literally split the city into three, and the devastation will be complete. All of the nations will collapse. Islands will disappear. Mountains will no longer be found. It is hard for us to imagine. We've seen so much devastation even in the last 12 months. And for us, it's like it's the news. But imagine what this will be like. How vast that devastation will be. I can't imagine what a 100-pound hailstone would be like. I can't imagine. I guess it would hurt if it hit you. It would more than hurt you. It would probably flatten you, and certainly would flatten anything in its path. In Ezekiel, it says this. This is what will happen in that day when Gog attacks the land of Israel. My hot anger will be aroused, declares the Sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people of the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog and all of the mountains, declares the Sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will execute judgment on him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him and his troops, and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is the final battle in all of human history. It is now time where Christ will make his appearance. Again, last week I concluded by sharing some of the reasons for God to allow this, and I want to do that once again, and that's listed in your outline under the purpose, and the purpose is twofold: to finish his final judgment on Israel. It is a time when we know the scriptures tell us that there will be 144,000 Jews that will turn to him, that will turn to him by faith and place their faith in Christ. It is a time that God will use this punishment to draw his people to himself. But for those that have rejected, it will be a time of final punishment, not only even upon Israel, but upon all people who have rejected him. All who have rejected him will find this as the final doomsday situation. Truly, what really the word in the Battle of Armageddon means. Again, the Battle of Armageddon will be the last war that we ever know. And we already know who will win. The victor will be the Lord Jesus Christ. On that glorious day, Satan and all who take his name will be defeated. They will be annihilated. and Jesus will return in all of his glory. And so today, again, as we look at the future events of history, we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean for us? What does the Battle of Armageddon mean for you right now? Well, God is setting the stage for many of these end times events. We really don't know when they're going to occur. The Bible tells us that we don't know when they are going to occur, but we know that they will. We know that every prophecy that was spoken by God will ultimately be fulfilled. And so what it means for us is we must be ready. Jesus could come today, and he will come as a thief in the night. He will come without warning. And the Bible teaches that we must be ready. How are you ready? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have placed your faith in him, you're ready for whatever happens. Last week, after we looked at all of these horrible things that occur in the earth, I shared that some people believe that God will rapture his believers out before any of it occurs. Some believe that he'll take them out right in the middle. Some believe that people will actually endure all of those events of the tribulation. Whatever place you are. The point is that God's protection is upon his people. And so in order to have that protection, we need to have our faith in his Son. And if you've never placed your faith in God's Son, that's the most important thing you could do today. And I would encourage you not to delay that decision. And then if you already know Christ as your Savior, which I know many of you do, what about those who do not? Part of our responsibility is to share Christ with them, to help them to understand the love and the grace that is offered to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to share and to help them to be ready as well. And so, again, I ask you, what does the Battle of Armageddon mean for you? Father God, we come before you thanking you that in your word you give us a warning. And the warnings are clear. The warning is that we must be ready for whatever is going to occur. That you will indeed come and you will come unannounced. You will either come to take those who have placed their faith in you out of the earth, or you will protect them. Whatever the case may be, we need to know that we're ready for that moment. And so, Lord, I would pray for anyone who is here today that has never personally placed their faith in you. If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, simply admit to him that you need him, that you need his forgiveness, and that you want to receive his grace and forgiveness. Would you tell him in your heart, if you believe that Jesus died on that cross personally for you, that he paid the penalty that you deserve to pay yourself? And would you commit to living your life in a way that pleases him? You might say something like, Lord, I come before you and I know that I break your law and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for me, that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. And I trust you even now at this very moment as my Lord and as my Savior. If you already know him as your Savior, would you take a moment and just ask the Lord to show you how he wants to use you in helping others to be ready for these cataclysmic events that will indeed occur? Father, we would pray that you would give us a sense of urgency in our lives. Every one of us rubs elbows with family, neighbors, co-workers, individuals who do not know Jesus. I would pray, Lord, that by the way we live and by the words that we share, that they will be drawn to you, that they too might be ready when that time comes. Lord, we ask that before you pour out your wrath, that you would pour out your Spirit and that you would draw many to yourself. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.